In an exclusive story you'll only see here on this show, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody expressed interest in going after the Department of Justice for their constitutional violations against J6ers. But then suddenly, after almost 6 months, she's gone silent. Well, she's responding to our report tonight, and I'll bring you the latest. Amazon is canceling a very popular social media influencer storefront, and there's very little explanation that they're willing to provide. Ariana Jacob joins us to discuss. Iran is attacking Israel, and the Joe Biden administration is pretending like it's not happening. Annie Cyrus joins us to detail the latest. With tensions hitting an all-time high in the Middle East, what does that mean for oil prices? Dr. Kirk Elliott joins us. California law says raping a child and paying for it is just a misdemeanor offense. We'll discuss the latest. All that and more on The Brianna Morello Show. Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the program. There was so much going on this weekend, of course, and it has to do with Joe Biden trying to start, and I'll just say this, trying to start another war. Although the administration's denying all of this, it looks like he's been playing both sides in the conflict between Iran and Israel, and it's bringing people start calling it out. The Jerusalem Times actually posted this tweet over the weekend saying Iran informed Turkey in advance of its plans of its operation against Israel. And a Turkish diplomat source tells Reuters on Sunday, adding that U.S. and they're trying to say that the U.S. was kind of warned about it, but they were given certain restrictions, quote, within certain limits. So they're saying that that was allegedly what's happened with the Biden administration. Now, the Biden administration today was forced to answer for this. And well, of course, they denied it. They at first denied it just cold. And then reporters started asking more questions. And then they said, well, I mean, we're not saying that we didn't know what's going to happen. But we're not saying that we, you know, spoke to Iran directly and gave them those instructions. What is deeply concerning because, well, they're trying to play a war with words. So joining us now to unpack all of this is Annie Cyrus. Many of you know she is the Iranian-American human rights advocate, as well as one of our favorite journalists who we highly rely on for anything related to Middle East. So Annie, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you saw all of this playing out and you've warned us about Iran. It's interesting though, because we hear people trying to say that Iran was just retaliating for something that Israel did, that Israel killed three of their commanders in a strike. And that's the reason why Iran is now striking back. But ultimately that's kind of a lousy excuse considering the fact that Iran has been using proxies to go after Israel. So what's your takeaway from all of this?
Well, I was actually expecting for a lot of people to come out and start using the, you know, the excuse of this was not an attack, this was a retaliation. Even the article from the Declaration of UN, they're using it has nothing to do with what they're using it for. Yes, Israel did have an airstrike. It did kill three of the IRGC members, well, leader level. But first of all, let's go back to October 7th. October 7 happened clearly, openly, with evidence admitted by Hamas through Hamas, and then admittedly by Hamas leaders funded and planned by Islamic Republic of Iran's IRGC, which is the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. So should we go and say, well, maybe what Israel did was a retaliation regarding October 7th? The story is, if you follow that path, it still goes back to Iran started the war with Israel. It wasn't yesterday, it wasn't October 7th, it wasn't even 10 years ago. They literally started it from day one of 1979, where the Islamic Revolution was completed. The Supreme Leader back then, Khomeini, started his speech with, let the plan begin. We will wipe Israel off the map and we will take down the great Satan, being America. This speech is still available, Brianna, anybody who wants to look at it. 1979, Supreme Leader of Iran speech. It's out there. So this war has started by Iran about 45 years ago. Now, is this war? No. No. Iran did, by the way, correct term is IRGC attacked Israel, not Iran, because this attack was not carried out by the military of Iran. Now, it's a little confusing because we don't have that differentiation here. But in Islamic countries, especially Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, Kuwait, Bahrain, Iran, those countries, they have the military that is part of the government. So it obeys the government and it does everything within the government rules and laws. But then you have IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, created in 1979 by Khomeini to guard all Islamic revolutions. If you look at the name, it doesn't say Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard. It says Islamic Revolution. So IRGC is an entity of its own that does not belong to the government of Iran. So on that note, yes, Iran attacked Israel, but technically this was an Islamic attack on Israeli people.
I like that. Okay, that's what we need to kind of clarify, because I think it's really important to drive that point home. Now, John Kirby spoke earlier today in the White House, and you know, they were denying everything. You know, in my open, I mentioned the fact that the White House is being accused of telling Iran that there are certain limits regarding their strikes that they were going to be taking up with Israel, and that's being denied by the White House right now. But interesting enough, John Kirby was actually asked about how the White House has been unfreezing billions of dollars from day one since taking the White House, pretty much. And it's all in regards to freeing up money that they claim is, you know, Iranian, I guess it would be humanitarian aid. But we all know that's not the case. Let's take a listen to that.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars.
For there Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff? Where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel. We put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it, and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm...
Annie, do you think they're taking it seriously? Do you think they're taking the Biden administration seriously?
Well, before I answer that, let me just point something out. They're taking Biden's warning seriously that Biden says, I will support Israel. If I'm correct, the very latest press release from our regime, that some people call Biden government, said they will not have any parts in retaliation of Israel towards Iran. What kind of support is that exactly? So that's one point we need to be very careful. Things are, details are very important last few days. Mm-hmm. Biden has never clearly stated that he's going to support Israel. If anything, he said U.S. will not take part if Israel decides to retaliate. Now, even if Biden would say such a thing, number one, unfortunately, Biden has not been taken serious since day one. Not just by Iran, by nobody. We don't even take Biden serious anymore. Mm-hmm. Every time he talks, I'm just waiting for him to either zone out, lost on a stage, or shake some imaginary friend's hand. So no, I can promise you, listening to Iran's regime since 2 days ago, their direct news from their own channel, they're not even talking about Biden. They're not. No, they're not taking it serious.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you mentioned that too, because earlier today at the White House, Joe Biden actually met with the Iraqi prime minister. And, you know, I joke, but it looked like he was falling asleep. I mean, he's constantly nodding his head off and his eyes are shut. So I don't think anyone takes it seriously. I think that our enemies are watching him and they know that he's somebody who is not well. And they know that we are extremely vulnerable. And that's the reason why tensions are so high around the world. Because, well, they know we have somebody in the White House currently who is not to be taken seriously. And I honestly have to question whether or not Joe Biden would want peace, as he says he does, because, well, his polling numbers are horrific and the economy is a disaster. And so another war would boost all of those numbers for him, especially if the U.S. were to be involved in it. So that's just my speculation on that. But I think it's interesting, too, because the White House was asked today, because Speaker Mike Johnson is coming out saying that we have to fund Israel. We have to fund them now. But, you know, the White House is saying, well, it wouldn't be a standalone funding that they would be looking for. It'd have to be brought together with the Ukraine funding. What's your takeaway of the White House just refusing to vote on Israel by itself and using Israel, what they're going through right now, to bring in more funding for Ukraine?
Well, let me break down in two different categories. Number one is basically we don't necessarily have to fund Israel to support Israel. We could stop the indirect negotiations with Iran, put the sanctions back on. That would automatically support Israel because regardless of how much they deny it, we all know billions and billions of dollars have been handed over, either cash pallets by Hussein Obama or unfrozen assets by Biden regime. So if we put the sanctions back, let's say for, I will go with those who online are saying, it's not our war to fight. We're broke inside our own country. Okay, even for sake of that argument, we don't necessarily have to fund them to support them. All we need to do is to stop funding the enemy, and that will automatically give the upper hand to Israel, number one. Number two, another way we can support him is to for Biden to hang up the phone, stop telling Israel, do not retaliate, and then tell Iranian regime, continue your activities within limited areas. See, that's another type of support that he is giving the terrorists that people are not paying attention to. Now, why is White House doing everything in their powers not to support Israel? I have talked about this few times for last few years, saying what happens between Israel and any of Israel's enemies in the Middle East has direct effect in our lives right here in America. Remember, at the end of the day, I'm not making it up, Bridget Gabriel has translated the Muslim Brotherhood's manifesto. The plan is pretty clear for the day where they can fly their flag on top of our White House, meaning caliphate, Arabic word of it, Islamic domination, their English term of it. They just want to turn this country into another Islamic country and control it. Sharia is one of the best ways to take America down. It goes against every value we have. It goes against Judeo-Christian values. It goes against our constitution. So when you have an anti-American, America-hating group of people in the White House, they will gladly support the enemy that has a final plan that or final goal that matches theirs, which is destroying America. This whole situation has nothing to do with Israel and everything to do with us here. They are baiting the Israeli government, waiting for a response. If Israeli government decide to retaliate and show military response, they have already warned us, if U.S. gets involved with that and support Israel, the next attack will take place here in America. And we all know how many of their soldiers we have imported to our country by allowing the open border and allowing 60,000 plus Afghans that we don't know who they were to fly into the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done it to ourselves, and it's pretty disturbing. And I really do fear that those soldiers will you know turn on us pretty quickly in any given moment, and then we're left to fend for ourselves. And it doesn't help either that we have judges, federal judges, who say illegal aliens have a right to the Second Amendment. Because, well, that doesn't help us either. We all know that they're arming up these days, too. Annie Cyrus, thank you so much. I want to remind our audience, if you're looking to support her work, it's liveuptofreedom.com. That's where you'd head to stay in tune with everything that Annie's working on. And Annie, you are the one of the many people pushing back. I know that's got you added to a lot of watch lists, but watch lists from Iran, at least, and hit lists from Iran. So you guys, you got to head over there. She's the only one, she's very few people, I guess I should say, who's speaking truth to power. And so head over to her website, take a look at what she's working on. Annie, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thanks so much for covering the truth, Brianna.
Thank you. We appreciate it. In California tomorrow, politicians are expected to debate something that should be non-debatable at this point. They're expected to debate whether or not those who are charged with paying for a child for sex should be, you know, charged with something more than just a misdemeanor or offense. Now, it's absurd, of course. Number one, this headline here seems to say that children can have sex. But we know that children can't have sex with adults. It's called rape. But they refuse to call it that, of course, because they want to ease your mind into accepting that children can consent to having sex with adults. But it's not sex. It's rape. I want to drive that point home before we jump into this. But what's expected to happen tomorrow in California, lawmakers are going to debate the potential upgraded charges so that it can't just be a misdemeanor offense. Now, right now in California, if you pay for a child to have sex, rape, well, you know what happens? You only get 1 year in prison, tops. It's absurd. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. But again, folks, we talk about it often on the show. California Democrats love pedophiles. In fact, they won't even call them pedophiles. They're trying to ease your mind into accepting them, so they refer to them as MAPS in the state of California. But we don't here. We refer to them as sex offenders, sickos, perverts, and people who should probably be killed. But in the state of California now, tomorrow, according to Republican State Senator Shannon Grove, they're going to begin making changes potentially to SB 1414, which, well, probably should have happened a long time ago. And it's previously was supposed to happen, but, well, didn't get too much support because, well, California Democrats love themselves some pedophiles. So what's going to happen? Well, they're going to try to upgrade the charges. They want to make sure that it's no longer a minor conviction when you're charged with paying a child for sex. Again, folks, rape. That's how their law states it. They refer to it as child for sex, and it's disgusting. It's degrading. But yet again, this is what we all have to kind of deal with when it comes to Californian Democrats. So what are we expected to hear? Well, Republicans are expected to argue that we toughen up these laws because, well, child trafficking is a very serious crime. Here in the United States, we should be ashamed of ourselves because we continue to allow pedophiles to rape children. And, well, there's really no consequences for it. So California Republicans are looking to push back onto their Democrats and, well, potentially give a stiffer sentence when it comes to raping children. We'll see how it plays out, but it's not likely going to go in the favor of Republicans because, well, Democrats love their pedos. We know this because, well, they don't even accuse assaulting children as a violent crime in the state of California. We know that in New York, for an example, when they passed through criminal justice reform, folks, they thought that child pornography was a non-violent offense. Even some assault charges against children, non-violent offenses. And then we know in other states like Kentucky that Democrats have come out swinging, saying that MAPS, which is also known as, to the same people, as pedophiles, shouldn't be, well, discriminated against. Remember that one Kentucky lawmaker who decided to push for child rapists to get sex dolls that resembled children to take out their frustrations on them? Talking about on this show. Well, there's a massive push in this country by Democrats to normalize pedophilia. We, as the American people, need to push back and shut that down. So we'll watch what unfolds this week in California. But don't be disappointed if Democrats push back and say, no, we will not charge child rapists with felonies. Because remember, folks, they empathize for them.
Givaderm is all natural products. I use it twice a day. I use it in the morning, and I also use it before I go to bed. And if you're looking to pick up a great body lotion, I use it every day. It's incredible. Again, the ingredients all in the back, it's listed. It's everything you can pronounce because guess what? It's all natural. This one's a good one. You have to get this product. Click down the link below. Givaderm is the product name and the promo code for 10% off right now is Brianna.
Well, we talk about it often. When cancel culture comes for you, it comes for you and it comes for you in all different avenues. And well, one influencer is learning, sadly, the hard way. Ari Jacob just recently announced that her Amazon storefront, which is a part of their Amazon influencer program, was recently taken down. And it's because, well, she posts a lot of opinion pieces on social media, which might not win over so many folks. But honestly, it's free speech, people. But apparently they have, without really any explanation, have yanked down her storefront. And Ari joins us now. Ari, thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. Listen, we talked about this prior, obviously, but the cancel culture mob is pretty unethical, will be the best way to put it. And I know that they were gunning for you because you tend to give your opinion, but you back it up with facts and you post it on X. So tell us about how you learned that Amazon had yanked down your storefront, and have you received a response as to why they took down your storefront?
No, it just so happened that on the same day that I noticed a lot of people saying, you know, that they had gotten their Twitter accounts taken down, and you know, I had posted a couple things that I guess got people upset. It was just, I got an email that my account was taken down, and then my boyfriend's account was terminated simultaneously, and another account that a family member runs. So I guess just for being associated to me, which was unfortunate for sure, especially because, you know, it's one of those things where it's a residual income. I've made like over 1,000 videos that live on Amazon that they get to apparently keep and continue to get revenue from that were taken, you know, and but my accounts were taken down.
Yeah, that's the problem with all of this. Now, I reached out to Amazon just for comment and an explanation as to why you were removed, and they have not responded. And we reached out several times. So it's unfortunate that they won't reply with an actual explanation. But, you know, you mentioned on X that this is a main source of income for you. And so this is really an issue for both you and your boyfriend, like you mentioned. And here are the screenshots that you shared with us of people just kind of mass reporting you to target you. So explain a little bit what this is on our audience's screen right now. And why you think they went after you?
Well, I looked up, like, has this ever happened to anybody before? And that's what you're showing is kind of what I found, is that people can essentially take your links. And one of the things that you're not allowed to do is put links in private Facebook groups. Like, you're not allowed to text it to your, you know, friends or whatever. It has to be in a public place, and it has to be someplace that you let Amazon know, hey, I'm going to direct traffic to Amazon from this place. But if somebody else takes your links, which everybody has access to, because again, you're posting them publicly, you know, to get people to go to Amazon, they could take those links and use them maliciously, essentially put them in Facebook groups and whatnot, in order to basically target your account so that Amazon, like, you know, dings it or whatever, and potentially shuts it down. Now, again, I have no way of knowing. They say that you can file an appeal, which we've done. But you know, as a creator, like, why that program is great is because I can, you know, have made my Amazon videos. Those are generating revenue, and then I can go online and stream and talk about my opinions and all that kind of stuff. And I've been vocal about cancel culture, and I don't want to get into it too far, but I did get canceled once already by Taylor Lorenz in the New York Times. So, you know, I'm outspoken about when I see cancel culture happening online to others, or when I see deceptive media tactics or deceptive influencer tactics. So I feel like I'm qualified to speak on those things. So if people don't like it, that's okay. But I still feel like it's important to talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And because it keeps going on. I mean, thankfully, Elon Musk purchased Twitter, but we saw it firsthand with X. I mean, this was going on for quite some time. And then to see it being done on other platforms like Amazon, it's pretty disturbing. But you mentioned that the videos that you created, Amazon is still able to use your videos. They just don't have to compensate you for that. Is there an agreement that you sign? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's part of the agreement. You know, they don't provide a lot of specifics. And unfortunately, you know, I was just trying to really expand my reach. Like, I didn't have to post the Amazon links to X, which I thought maybe this will be a cool thing, is to try doing the Amazon links on X, because nobody else is really doing any type of shopping content that I've seen, at least. So, you know, had I just not even tried, at least my videos would have remained on Amazon, continue to be making money. And so it's kind of hard to be, it's unfortunate to be penalized basically for just trying to be, you know, I guess, like, trying to do something new on the platform and trying to follow the rules. It's just unfortunate that they don't even give you like a warning. You said that you were also kicked off the platform, right? Off of Amazon.
Yeah, it was so strange. So I applied to be a part of their influencer program, and I did start putting, you know, certain things up and posting and sharing. And there were some sales that were made from it, and it wasn't my main focus at the time. But then I got an email weeks later that I wasn't qualified to join their program, and they yanked me down, and the compensation that I should have received never cashed out. And they just kind of took it and like, oh, you're not qualified, but they got their sales from it. So it's disturbing, but right. I think it's just, for me, it's another reason why I'm just kind of over all these you know, tech platforms and these Amazon, you know, companies, because they have no one to answer to at the end of the day. That's pretty disheartening.
Well, the big thing too that really upsets me is that, you know, if I was Charli D'Amelio or if I was Paris Hilton, you know that I would have a direct line to Amazon or to any of these big platforms, which, you know, I experienced because I was a manager for a lot of these big social media people. And so when I was managing those people, I always had a direct line into Instagram and to Twitter and to all the major platforms. The minute that Taylor Lorenz wrote a hit piece about me, all of a sudden nobody would pick up my call. And so, you know, it is sort of a class system. They do care kind of who you are, what you're all about. And I don't know, you know, I have no bad experiences before this with Amazon. You know, I spoke to somebody that I dealt with in the influencer, with influencer deals. And he basically was just like, you know, I don't deal with that department. And then I reached out to somebody on LinkedIn. Again, they're like, I don't deal with that department that I'm talking about, which is basically the little guys, right? The little influencers that are bringing sales to you. And by the way, it's not a cheap investment. I mean, everything that you see here, I bought specifically because I was going to do the Amazon stuff. I mean, the videos I posted on X that you're seeing is like, you know, this is my set. This is everything that I bought on, and I bought it all on Amazon so I could review it. So it's just like, how can they expect you to invest all this money and then not even give you a person to talk to? It really feels like you're talking to a bot. And then the Twitter on X, you know, Amazon help reaches out, but all they're doing is basically PR, you know, crisis PR, basically saying, oh yeah, we'll help you. And then you DM them and they say, oh, you know, you have to wait to deal with, you know, the Amazon affiliates people that get back to you. But it's not, to me, I've never spoken to an actual human being. So, yeah. And I think if this was happening on, like, can you imagine if X had a shoppable video program and they were just shutting down influencers without giving them any type of, you know, explanation and then keeping all the profits from it? I think Elon Musk would be getting a lot of heat for that. And so I'm just wondering why Amazon hasn't, I don't know, made this program a little bit easier to communicate with the influencers that they're profiting from.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He would be getting, you know, a lot of pushback on that for sure. I'm interested to see how they respond to your appeal, Arianda. Thank you so much for joining us today, giving this to us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. The Department of Injustice doesn't fear violating your constitutional rights. We know this because, well, we've seen it played out with January 6th defendants. Repeatedly, the DOJ has gone after these J6 defendants, and they don't give a damn about their constitutional rights. Because, well, no one's stepping in. Here in Florida, we have the most January 6th defendants, of course. And, well, our public elected officials are quiet about the whole issue. They don't really want to speak up. Because, well, to them, January 6th is kind of just a white trash issue, and so they don't want involvement. That's how it's seen in the political world, and I can attest to that. I've heard that said behind closed doors. And, well, when you reach out for comment on all these issues, you hear from no one. Here in the state of Florida, my Attorney General Ashley Moody, well, she's another one who has kind of gone silent on the issue. Ashley Moody pretends to be a pusher for freedom, a pusher for the American people, but she likes to play it safe. Ashley Moody is somebody who, well, has been silent as the DOJ sends the FBI ripping off the front doors of Floridians for misdemeanor offenses. And, well, I've tried repeatedly talking to her office about the issues, but I don't hear from them. These J6ers have had their civil rights violated repeatedly. The list is endless. But if you reach out to our Attorney General, you'll hear nothing from her. But it wasn't always that way. Attorney General Ashley Moody was interested at one point, well, her office was, in defending January 6th defendants, those who were maybe charged with a misdemeanor in Washington, D.C., had a magistrate judge in Washington, D.C. sign off on it, and then, well, their homes here in Florida raided by the FBI. That sparked her interest. She was interested in becoming a pusher and making sure that, well, people like Jeremy Brown have their day in court justifiably heard, his story heard. That's one of the big issues. It wasn't just him, it was J.D. Rivera, and the list goes on. Now, I know this because back in November of last year, Ashley Moody's top official sat down with a journalist and had an interview with him regarding his reporting on January 6th. They were interested in going over how the Department of Justice committed perjury during one of the most high-profile trials, which included several Floridians. When he detailed and showed his evidence, they were interested in pushing back on several cases. They asked that journalist to keep his mouth shut as they tried to play things out. Now, listen, I've known this for quite some time. I have kept my mouth shut on the issue. But the only reason why I'm speaking out now, because, well, this was back in November of last year. Ashley Moody has done nothing since then. We've repeatedly reached out to her office and so have others. And, well, you get nothing back in response. They're ghosting us. But it's not just me. It's people like Steve Baker, who they haven't responded to, Julie Kelly, and others. So why are they all of a sudden ghosting us? Well, it's an issue I personally have taken up because the rights of Americans need to be defended. Now, whether you don't think that your department has a right to investigate the DOJ, that's interesting because, well, Democrats never play it like that. Democrats will do anything. They will create any type of document they need to go after their opposition. And that is the reason why we are losing in our country. Republicans are losers. And that's just the harsh reality that many of you have already understood. You get it. They don't want to push back. They don't give a damn about Floridians and their personal rights and civil rights. They don't care. It's a white trash issue. They don't respect us. They think that, well, let the DOJ will do whatever they want. But they don't stop. The Department of Justice will never stop. They will come after all of us because they don't like what you have to say. So repeatedly, I continue to reach out to Ashley Moody's office and I get nothing back, which is interesting because, as many of you know, I used to work over at Fox News, Fox Business. And well, when Ashley Moody's office wanted to get on camera and highlight all the incredible work she was doing here in the state of Florida, I got phone calls. And I have to tell you, those phone calls probably came twice a month, at least. She wanted her people to push her on to all of her Fox shows. She played it safe. She, you know, reached topics like fentanyl and other topics here, which are important. But there's nothing more important than defending the Constitution. And that's something that we need to drive home here. Ashley Moody wants to play it safe, but she also has political aspirations. She, like so many, wants to run for governor eventually. Those are just rumors, of course. But we all know that she has political aspirations. But as you see here, we are still arresting Floridians for attending a rally in Washington, D.C. nearly or over 3 years later. And so what is Ashley Moody going to do about it? Well, the answer is nothing. The Department of Justice can just sit here and completely violate your constitutional rights, and there's not a single politician who will defend them. It's a federal issue, they'll tell you. We can't do anything about it. But that's a difference, folks. That's a difference. You know, President Donald Trump right now is the victim of lawfare from all different angles. And it's because Democrats don't give a damn. Who's going to challenge them? No one. That's the reality. No one challenges Democrats. Nobody pushes back. And so for people like Ashley Moody, well, she's just going to keep playing it safe. She's going to talk about the safe topics, maybe a little bit of, you know, retail theft she'll talk about. She'll talk about a little bit of fentanyl. She'll talk a little bit about illegal migration. But she won't talk about defending your rights. She won't talk about defending the rights of Americans right now who are having the DOJ target them. They have no resources. They have completely been bankrupt in this state. And not a single Floridian politician wants to stand up and say something about it. Now, listen, it's not just J6ers that they're going after. The Department of Justice also announced just a couple of weeks ago that they were opening a federal red flag center to go after law-abiding Americans and take away their guns. And what happened? Well, nothing. We heard nothing from our attorney general. Is she going to file a lawsuit? Well, I reached out and asked. I asked on both subjects. And guess what? Haven't heard back. I've also reached out to Governor Ron DeSantis' office. Haven't heard back. So it's just one of the many, many issues here in the state of Florida. We pretend to be the land of the free. We pretend to be so bold and brave, but we're not. We have a conglomerate of weak politicians who would rather protect themselves than protect the Constitution. Listen, if you don't want to go out there and defend Americans, don't run for these critical positions. And if you think, well, by standing silent on these issues, you're buying yourself immunity, I'm here to tell you, you're not. You're not buying yourself immunity. You're just buying yourself time. Now, moments after recording that segment, we heard back from Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody's office. Now, it's important to note this came after our deadline, but in order to be fair and balanced, we'll include it anyway, of course. It comes from her press secretary, this note, and the comment specifically, and it's strange because she's talking about journalists in this, but again, folks, the email was not about journalists. It was about Florida residents specifically. But she's saying that they find it disturbing to see the Biden administration pursuing criminal charges against journalists. However, the state of Florida does not have the legal authority to prosecute. The DOJ and 1983 civil actions are filed by private parties. And again, folks, we're not asking for her to prosecute. We're asking for there to be an investigation launched against these people. So sounds like we're not going to be getting that, but she knows specifically that, because like I just mentioned to you all, we're very sure, because we had people in the room, telling us that she did have interest in going after the Department of Justice through an investigation. And then they go on to another question that I followed up with regarding the DOJ announcing their new federal red flag center that they have set up. And many of you know, we talked about on this program, that one that I cited earlier is about the federal government going after law-abiding Americans and taking away their guns. We asked her specifically if she intends on filing any lawsuits. And of course, additionally, the Attorney General opposes the Biden administration trying to push gun policy on the states and any data collection on gun ownership by the federal government. But again, it doesn't say if she's going to be doing anything about that. Now, we also have to add to our reporting that Jeremy Brown, one of those Florida residents who was targeted by the DOJ and currently sits in prison right now, well, he actually reached out to Ashley Moody for assistance. Now, many of you recall he had his home raided by the FBI, and it was over misdemeanor offenses. Now, if you take a look at this letter, he reached out to Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody's office. And after sending that letter, the AG, the very next day, it looks like according to these notes, forwarded that letter to the FBI. Jeremy currently sits in prison for items that they claim that they found inside of his home. Now, if you ask any great legal mind, they'll tell you that Jeremy is a very unique story because, well, after Jeremy recorded the FBI trying to recruit him as an informant prior to January 6th, he released those recordings and then had his home raided. Now, it's interesting enough because, again, folks, he was only charged with misdemeanor offenses. That magistrate judge, of course, was a Washington, D.C. magistrate judge, and that warrant was signed and executed here in the state of Florida. So, again, folks, a magistrate judge from Washington, D.C., signed a warrant to have a home in Florida raided. If you ask any great legal mind, they'll tell you they haven't seen that before, especially for misdemeanors. So although Ashley Moody's responding now to our report, doesn't really seem to be anything substantial. And if you enjoyed that interview, make sure you hit that subscribe button right now and make sure you turn on your notifications so you get updates whenever we go live. We've got tons of exclusive content coming out shortly, so make sure you're in the know. And well, if this is your first time watching or if this is something that you see regularly and you like to make a suggestion, leave us some feedback. We love your comments, so make sure you do so. And if you're looking to support our independent program, head over to supportbree.com. That's where you can make a one-time donation or become a monthly donor. You could pick any dollar amount you'd like. And we greatly appreciate it because it goes to supporting us and keeping our show on air. So again, folks, head over to supportbree.com. And that's where you go to support us directly. We'll be right back with much more. The conflict between Iran and Israel is obviously heating up, as we just spoke with journalist Annie Cyrus about. But the key point is to look at the economy and see how the economy is doing. And if you look at just oil numbers coming out right now, oil is skyrocketing. But it was even before the attacks that took place over the weekend. On Friday, oil hit new highs, six-month highs specifically. Oil prices on Friday closed around $92 a barrel, which is something, like we said, you haven't seen in the last 6 months. So experts are expecting oil to skyrocket over these upcoming days. And it's not just oil numbers you need to keep an eye on. It's also the numbers regarding precious metals. Gold and silver are expected to do extremely well in the upcoming days. But investors are saying that now is the time, and this is an exact quote, an opportunity of a lifetime to invest in gold and silver because, well, they're expected to hit a little bit of a low, but then skyrocket is what these experts are saying. And so many of you at home probably should consider just that. I know I am, especially with the fact that, well, Joe Biden seems to be getting us into another war, potentially. And what do most people do when there's a war on the horizon? Well, they make sure to invest in things like precious metals. So joining us now to discuss is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time as always on this issue, especially we're seeing all these experts coming out and saying that now's a good time to buy gold and silver. What's your thoughts on all of this?
Well, there's so many reasons that are pushing into that statement. The Iran-Israeli conflict is just one of them. So whenever there's times of war, And we've got numerous ones hitting us right now, whether it's mm-hmm. Russia, Ukraine, Iran, Israel, you know, Hamas. I mean, you name it, right? So it's just like happening. But what that does in the hearts and minds of people is it causes them to think with uncertainty and a little bit of fear, right? And so whenever things are uncertain about financial future, because wars are expensive and stocks, bonds, mutual funds generally come down during wartime, money is printed to fund it. War is very expensive, and that causes inflation. So for that reason, people just tend to kind of pull back and want to go into something that's real. That's the flight for quality that we see during wartime environments where gold and silver tend to thrive. Mm-hmm. So that's just reason number one, right? And this is kind of a doozy over the weekend. You know, you had the G7 nations meeting. First, you had Biden said, oh, we're going to support Israel. And then it's like, no, we're actually not going to support Israel. And then the G7 nation says, we're going to offer our support, but then they really don't do anything. And mm-hmm. Russia, you know, condemns the action, but they don't go as far as to say that Iran did the wrong thing. It's like, these are all words that mean absolutely nothing when it's like, you're bad, but we're not going to do anything about it. Right. So this is going to persist, right? So you've got that going on. Now you've got central banks around the world, Brianna, are allocating into gold by the hundreds or thousands of tons because of what started during a war. So during the Russia-Ukraine conflict, when it first started, what did Biden do? Biden went to Putin and said, hey, number one, we're going to kick you out of the SWIFT system, which is the way that countries or banks get wires, right? You don't get an international wire or domestic wire unless you're part of the SWIFT system. So what he wanted to do was starve out the Russian people. And Putin said, wow, it's not going to happen under my watch, not to my people. So he went to China. And that one action caused the emergence of the BRICS nations. They were already there for a long time. However, this rock solid economic political union between Russia and China was established and solidified and put on steroids because of Biden's nuclear option economically of cutting Russia off from SWIFT because they needed to get money. So China already had something like that for the BRICS nations. And so Xi in China said, hey, Putin, just join us. You don't have to worry about SWIFT. We got it all taken care of, which they did. And that created a rock solid union. But then what Biden also did was he froze Russian assets. So all of their gold, I mean, they had a lot of gold. They had like almost $1 trillion worth of gold, right? So what did they do? They froze it. And so now he couldn't get to it. So the rest of the world now, because of the things that happened during wartime, which is usually economic sanctions, is telling the Fed, we want our gold. All the gold that you have stored there in America, we want it back. We're going to repatriate it and bring it back to our homeland. Well, Congress got wind of this and sent a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, yes, to the Fed. Well, what did Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, say? He said, well, I don't care about this FOIA request. We're not giving you the information. It's like, what? It's like, what happened, Brianna, to the rule of law in America where subpoenas and congressional requests actually meant something, right? Because he's not complying. But then he said, well, the New York Fed Bank actually has that information, but you know what? They're not going to give it to you either. We're a private bank. It's like, what? So they just get away with it, just completely avoiding a congressional subpoena. But you have to ask why. Why don't they want to give up that information? Is it really that condemning or that bad? And the answer is yes, right? So since April, the number of tons of gold that's gone to China is 160 tons. The amount of gold that's left America is 134 tons. So there's this balance shift, you know, this pendulum shifting moment where wealth is moving from the West to the East, and the Fed doesn't want the world to know about it, right? So because all these countries are afraid of the weaponization of the US dollar, putting economic sanctions on them. If you misstep once, you know, they're going to freeze your assets. Nobody wants that. So they want their gold back. Now, it's not just in America. The European Union told Russia this morning, actually, they said, hey, you owe Romania 90, almost 91 tons of gold. From going all the way back to like 1916, they said, give it back to Romania. You know what Medvedev said? And I'm not going to say the word because it's a clean show. But he basically said, F off. It's like, what? It's like, so all these countries now are starting to want to freeze people's assets and give them to somebody else. There's also Janet Yellen, chairman of the, you know, Secretary of Treasury here in America, told Russia that, hey, you know, the gold that we basically froze for you, we're going to give it to Ukraine. It's like, they don't own it. It's not theirs to give, but we're not giving it back to them. And now we're going to give it to somebody else. So this is just ticking off Putin, and it's ticking off all the other countries to say, well, we don't want to play this game. We're taking our stuff because they're acting like rogue and they're going to steal all of our assets. So China, this is really interesting. I mean, this is almost like a soap opera playing itself out economically. Yeah. China's been amassing like thousands, tens of thousands of tons of gold. Basically, unsubstantiated amounts are around 30,000 tons because they lie about everything. It's hard to know exactly how much they have. Officially, they have 5,000 tons, which is still a lot. That's tons of gold, right? But unofficially, they have about 30,000. Well, because of the amount of short positions that the big banks in America have on silver, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, I mean, on last week, they shorted 1.2 billion ounces of silver to try to drive the price down. Well, that's astronomical because the total amount of silver coming out of the ground for mines in a whole year is like 800 million. I mean, now, so they shorted more in one day than the entire annual production of silver globally. So with those short positions, if the price of silver goes up, they lose money hand over fist. So what is China now doing? They're playing the smart game. They're playing this game of chess where we showed up playing, you know, I don't know, Skippa or something. It's like, it's not even the same game, and it's not even close. So they are now buying silver in China rather than gold to drive the price up because that will kill Western banking in America. I mean, they're playing this very smart. So what's happened to silver? Silver has gone up over $6 in the last 2 months, like up over 30%, Brianna, in the last 2 months because of these things that are starting to happen and the increased demand and the ultra low supply. So when you look at all of that, Bank of America has now given projections for this move of gold and where it's going to take it. Remember, gold's sitting around little less than $2,400 an ounce as we record. Bank of America thinks it's going to 3,000, Goldman Sachs 2,700, UBS $4,000 an ounce. Banks always understate their growth on gold because they're banks, right? And so these are probably very conservative numbers. The average is 3,200 between those three. So here's why we go into silver. I mean, that's a massive growth from 2,400 to 3,200 on average, but there's this ratio, Brianna, between gold and silver. How many ounces of silver does it take to buy 1 ounce of gold? Historically, that number is 20 to 1. Mm-hmm. Today, it's about a little over 80 to 1. So let's look at this gold price, and the ratio will always regress towards the mean. We're going to approach 20 to 1. But if gold goes to 3,200, like these big banks say, at 80 to 1, that puts silver at $40 an ounce. At 60 to 1, $53 an ounce. At 40 to 1, $83 an ounce. 30 to 1, 107. We get back to the historical average. Silver at $165 an ounce. This is where we can use this mayhem, the wars and rumors of wars, the chaos, the shorting of silver, this economic warfare that's playing out. And when we identify that with wisdom and discernment and just act and do something about it, we can literally thrive. And those numbers that we're talking about are one of those, and we've already moved, again, over 30% in the last 2 months. This is incredible in and of itself. But now when these things start to accelerate and manifest themselves, we can truly take advantage of them and let this political chaos work in our favor for once.
Yeah, and I think it's really important too. And you mentioned, well, two things. Number one, FOIA requests. They don't like complying with those these days. I know I've got a couple of lawsuits pending on that. The most transparent administration ever doesn't like transparency, and they encourage their other agencies to not be transparent as well. But you also mentioned too the seizing of assets and then just being able to decide, you know, this belongs to Russia, but we're just going to give it to Ukraine. I think a lot of American citizens are concerned that's going to happen here in the United States to our personal assets. People like you and me, I mean, they could just decide at any point it seizes. And there's very little that you could do to fight back, even if you take them to the court. So I think it's interesting now to discuss the investing in precious metals, because now's a good time to do so. For our audience right now at home considering doing so, what would be the key points that you would like to drive home on that? And then where can they go to find out more information?
So the key points are, we always want to be in the right place at the right time. At some points, given the right economic conditions, lowering taxes, lowering interest rates, creating jobs, the stock market will do really, really well. But what we've got now is rising taxes, rising interest rates, slow down inflation they're creating. We've got wage reduction and job losses. Like, it's exactly the opposite. That's what causes gold and silver to go up. So, but look at what you just said was really important. Americans are going to be concerned that the government could take away their assets just like they did with Russia. You know what? They don't need our permission.
Yeah.
They don't even have to act mean about it. We have already given up ownership of our checking and savings accounts and brokerage accounts at wherever to them after 2009. When we had that crisis back then, they changed the laws. It's in every prospectus that you get when you open up a checking or savings account. It's called beneficial ownership. We are no longer the owner of our checking and savings and brokerage accounts. We're beneficiaries of it. We gave ownership to them. So therefore, they don't have to ask permission to use it, to use your assets as collateral to pay off derivatives debt or anything. We've already given that up, and most people don't know. So how do you get out of that system? Simply by getting out of the system, go into tangible assets like gold and silver that are not digital, they're not paper. You take delivery of them or you have them stored, right? So to do that, just give us a call. 720-605-3900 and say Brianna sent you, or we set up a website for you that you can actually go to for you. And that is briannagold.com. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's very, very easy. Yeah. BREANNA gold.com.
And either one, you'll just fill out a little bit of information. Say you heard Kirk and Brianna talking. You really want to protect your assets. Fill out a couple of questions, and then we will call you to set up a time for us to dig in a little bit deeper, find out what your concerns are, your fears, your goals, your aspirations, and then map out a strategy for success using precious metals to get you out of that horrible system that we just talked about, which is awful. Intrusion, loss of privacy, loss of financial freedom. But in the same side is having a smile on our face, because you're almost sticking it to them, right? You're sticking it to China and to Russia, who are trying to manipulate the system. And once you understand how anybody is manipulating the system, you can act accordingly to protect. And that's what we do.
Yeah, I think that's critical too. And you know, I have a friend who believed in crypto like crazy and is calling me now saying that the government has accused him of crimes that he has not committed. And now the crypto company that he was working with no longer wants to do business with him and has released all of his money and isn't doing business with him anymore. And so it does happen, and people need to prepare for it. And I think this is a great option to prepare for the government just overreaching and going after individuals, which, you know, we talk about in the show all the time. It's a weaponized federal government. So really, we assume that everything is at their disposal these days. So again, folks, if you want to learn more and just get some information on all of this and come up with a plan for yourself, all you have to do is head over to briannagold.com. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A gold.com. You're going to see that little form where you could fill out your contact information. And like Dr. Kirk just said, he's going to have someone call you from his team. They're going to schedule an appointment, and then they're going to have a phone call with you where they could go over your options, which are really, really important to do, especially during times like this. They're saying it's now the best time to purchase gold and silver and become an investor. And, you know, I am myself right now. So I would highly recommend our audience doing that. So again, folks, if you'd like to go over your options, head over to briannagold.com. Dr. Kirk Elliott, it's always so insightful to speak with you. We love talking to you. We love getting all the dirt on the economy, what the backhand plans are, and what they're doing behind our backs. So we appreciate your time as always. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow. Towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all My Towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Now, you guys know, I love myself my towels. We love them here at my household. Well, because the pups even love them after a crazy day of playing at the park. I give them their baths and they love being wrapped in them. Literally, G and Giuseppe do not want me to take them out of them. They want me to tie them extremely tight and they're smiling the entire time. So if you're looking for, you know, a unique gift for your pups or Mother's Day, which is coming up, which is just a couple of days away, you got to head over to MyPillow.com right now. Use promo code BREE, B-R-E. We have two of them, but Bree's the easiest one to spell, of course. But they both unlock the best discounts available on the website. So head over to MyPillow.com right now and buy yourself or your mother or your pups a great gift. There's so many things to buy, of course. And if you maybe have a product, but you haven't been over there in a while, check it out. There's a whole bunch of new products that Mike has made available. And you're helping push back against so many of the great causes that Mike Lindell and we support here. So it is a great cause and a great way to celebrate maybe Mother's Day. So again, folks, MyPillow.com and use promo code BREE to secure up to 66% off. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate your time as always and tuning in. And we will be back here tomorrow with so much more to unpack. Have a great evening. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.